Test 1, 2, 3.
Thanks for agreeing to talk with me. I want to just begin by asking you a little bit about your background and how you came to work at State.
Okay. I joined State in 1984, coming here from the University of Cincinnati, and saw it as a great opportunity.
And I wonder if you could talk just generally about your responsibilities as Vice Chancellor for Finance and Business. For example, what is the work that you do?
Okay. Currently, my current position. Okay. The role of Vice Chancellor for Finance and Business at NC State is as the Chief Financial Officer responsible for all business operations. And in that, we have not only the traditional financial operations, but a number of physical operations as well. That is, campus operations for transportation or public safety or facilities and also supporting activities such as purchasing in the bookstores and other kinds of auxiliary operations. So it's a pretty broad band. And in terms of my daily routine, it varies from almost minute to minute. In this position, there's no such thing as a routine day.
Okay. And of course, the main thrust of this project is the Cincinnati campus. Mm-hmm. And it's undergone some pretty dramatic growth over the last 15 years. And I wondered what were some of your principal goals and objectives for Cincinnati.
Well, I came to the university at about the time that we first received the transfer of lands, or at least the first segment of that transfer of lands from Governor Hunt. And I was familiar with it from the very start in that regard in my previous roles as the then Associate Vice Chancellor for Business Affairs, Business Services, and then later as the Associate Vice Chancellor for Facilities, and working with the master plan and the rezoning of the property, and actually began to physically develop the property. So I've been involved at various stages along its maturity.
Yeah, and I guess what you see is maybe unique about Cincinnati campus, what you see extending in the park, the University of Central Park.
Well, when the concept was created, it was quite distinct and different. That is that there had not been, to that time, a university-related research, I'll use the word park here, that was conceived to be a partnership with the non-university entities that were on the park. What you found at that time, back in the 80s, were business parks that were close to a campus generally, but were still separate and apart and did not have a mingling of the university activities and the private sector activities in the same general area. So they were more traditional parks in that regard, industry otherwise. What we tried to do was really make it different by the intermingling of all of these things, both within the buildings and building to building within the plan.
And so you say, I'll use the word park here. I mean, that's the reason why you're hesitant to use the word park?
Well, we've never called it a park, right? Because we don't consider that. We consider it a campus. And the campus has been an important part of our vernacular for this, and we call it the Centennial Campus. We always refer to it that way, and we take great strides not to call it a park, because a park connotates something that is entirely different. Now, what's happened over the last 20 years, though, is that as we've developed this and been successful, and there's been a steady stream of universities in here to see this model, we have others who are trying to do something similar. So we're not quite as unique as we were 20 years ago when the idea was conceived.
And you were right. You've been around campus, well, not through the whole process, but since the 80s. Mm-hmm. And what were the early days like at Centennial Campus?
It's like watching paint dry. things happened very slowly. The planning process was a very long, involved process, which we brought in a group called Carly Capital to help develop a master plan, and that was at the time that Bruce Poulton was the chancellor. And one of the things that Chancellor Poulton recognized that campus needed something to jump start it. And we had at that time, back in the early 80s, we had in fact designed an expansion of the College of Textiles to their former home in Nelson Hall. And we were actually going to build onto the back of Nelson and make that an expanded College of Textiles. And that building was essentially was designed. And Bruce Poulton, because of his desire to jumpstart the Centennial, said, well, we're not going to build that there. We're going to go build that new college on Centennial, and we're going back to the legislature and ask for more money to build a whole new college on Centennial campus. And that's what he did. And the faculty declared they would not move to Centennial campus if that happened. Well, it happened. They moved. And in fact, they were very happy once they moved, quite frankly.
And that's the thing that sort of jump-started?
That really created a presence over there.
Right.
It wasn't the first building we opened now. We actually opened Research 1 prior to Textiles opening because it was a smaller building done in a different way. But it was the first time that we really placed the university over there in a big way that said we're serious about moving, and it sent a strong message about where the campus was going.
And, I mean, that made it easier because
well, it's very hard when you're establishing a new development, and this is very true in the private sector, to get that first anchor tenant. You can get little dribs and drabs, and we had our first partner over there was a company called AXO, as I recall, that had two offices in the top floor of the Research 1 building. They were our only partner on the campus at the time. That was the first one. They're no longer there, but getting that anchor tenant. Who really became ourselves in this case. We established our own college as the anchor tenant to say we're serious about the investment on Centennial campus, and that was a very important thing to do because companies were hesitant to see the vision.
Right. So it signaled your seriousness.
Yeah.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any major projects or initiatives that you're working on now?
On the Centennial campus,
yes.
There are a variety of things that are still very high on our list that we're working on, and some we're revisiting that the time wasn't quite right for. For instance, the golf course as an amenity to the campus, and also a laboratory for turf grass and the professional golf program, management program. So that's in the works, and we're raising funds to try to do that. Of course, we've just completed the second of the engineering complex buildings, and we're now designing the third of those. So we'll be moving, so we'll continue to move the College of Engineering over there. So that's a very big endeavor for us. We have under construction the Biotechnology Training Center, BTEC, and that's an important partnership with not only the community colleges, but with the biotechnology industry. We are completing the Alumni Center, which again is another amenity kind of facility on the campus near the lake. Working with a developer in another private partnership development of what we call the N4 cluster, which is also now we're calling it the Alliance Center, which is very similar to the Venture Center that was completed, which was a private project, totally built with private money, occupied largely by non-university tenants, but some university tenants, which we approve the non-university tenants. And now we're getting ready for a next phase of that kind of development on the campus. We are having a lapse. I thought of something else I wanted to mention there.
Well, I'm sort of curious about the venture complex.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was it named so sort of because of the way it was capitalized, or?
No, as we, it's like any other naming. You try to pick a name that signifies the nature of what you're doing, and I'll give you an example. When we built the first four buildings that we leased space in, some to ourselves, some to outside, we called them research buildings. Research building 1, 2, 3, 4. Very creative. Well, we decided we needed to kind of shift, so we started building buildings we called partner buildings, and we built partner buildings 1, 2, 3, and a fourth one we still have on the drawing board. And so as we've moved along, we keep trying to use illustrations of how this campus is developing. And the Venture Center, which is what that whole block is called, was indeed a venture, joint venture with the private sector. And it seemed to just signify kind of another step forward in this. And the complex across the street that'll have three more buildings in it, built in a similar fashion, is going to be called the Alliance Center. And one of the things that's important about naming things, particularly in those kind of complexes, is that it'd be a name that people, when they hear it, it kind of has an uplifting ring to it. It's important. It also has a marketing as a marketing tool as well when you're advertising those kind of spaces.
Sure. And what are some of the benefits that accrue in essence being campus from things like golf course or the amenities?
What accrues to the university?
Yes, sir.
Well, in the case of let me start with a kind of a high level. Of course, just the simple development of the campus and the space that represented to the campus is an enormous benefit. And that need occurred because we were becoming landlocked here on the original campus with minimal spaces to grow. And that was really a vision to give us a second land grant, so to speak, for the university on its 100th anniversary. Its name came from the fact that it occurred real near our centennial year, and hence it became the Centennial Campus. Now, on the campus, in terms of the number of things that we're doing over there, set aside the additional space, amenities like the golf course, which provide a field laboratory for turf grass management, an operational laboratory for the professional golf management program out of natural resources, a place for the golf team to play, same as any other venue we would have around the campus for our various athletic teams. It's going to provide all three of those, as well as an additional laboratory that's related to turf grass in terms of erosion control and best practices and those kinds of things in terms of golf course, the golf course business per se. Well, certainly the hotel and conference center, which is part of our master plan, and we'll be reviving that to kind of roll that back out here this coming year. That activity, the golf course is certainly an amenity to that, but the hotel itself and the meeting space is an amenity to the campus in a way that the McKimmon Center perhaps isn't. It's a facility that our business partners want to have to bring in their customers to do things like training here on site, and that's very, very important to them.
And what do you think makes for a successful industrial or government partnership?
That's defined in a lot of different ways, because there's probably no two partnerships that are exactly alike. We have now probably 61 or 62 partners on the campus at this time, and every one of them is a little different. In some cases, their partnership is that they use some technology that was developed here and are trying to now move that along to a production status, to a profit-making entity, and they've licensed that. That's one kind of partnership. Another is they do simply a kind of work that we have an interest in from a faculty and research standpoint, and our faculty collaborate with them on that research. They may fund grants in our faculty laboratories. Our faculty may actually work in their laboratories or their offices there to do the same thing. We have situations where the partnership is often internships, where they're applying a technology that we're teaching here, and our students are able to work there and learn how that's done in the private sector, kind of a job training. So there's really a variety of the way those partnerships are constructed.
And in general, where do you see Centennial Campus being developed? Where do you see it?
Where is it along in that continuum of development? I think it is probably approaching, I won't say it's quite at the halfway point there, because it's not there. It's getting near that, you know, it's in that point, and what I would call the halfway point, or when we kind of break over the hump. When we have completed the third engineering building, and when we have completed the Hunt Library, which is a project that we're seeking funding for, and we have completed the conference center, hotel, and the golf course, I would consider that project halfway complete as a project. As a campus, it'll always continue to evolve and that kind of thing. So I think we're really kind of on the cusp of another really major milestone in its history over the next 5 to 7 years.
And what are some of the bigger problems you've confronted in the past with Centennial Campus?
Well, we face all the same things that a developer faces. How do you finance infrastructure? How do you cash flow a project? Because while there are some state funds in certain buildings, the project as a whole has to stand on its own. So managing the cash flow for the project, being able to pay for the things that need to come when they need to come has been one of our biggest challenges. We have faced challenges of dips in occupancy sometimes, which affects your cash flow, but we have been able to, because of the reputation of the campus, largely avoid the kinds of same significant dips that the private sector has seen off campus. And so we face all those same realities, and we have to learn sometimes, because sometimes, you know, in our business that's not what we're used to doing, so we've had to learn how to manage those ebbs and flows of the business side of it.
Okay, and was there anything else?
Well, I think that one of the things that the campus has been for us, besides this additional land to build on and so forth, it has been one of those ways that NC State can distinguish itself from other universities. And we really have, I think, been able to play that to our advantage. It has meant an enormous amount to recruiting. We have had faculty and administrative positions that we have recruited for here, and many, many times we have heard after the fact from the person who's gotten here that the thing that made the difference was the uniqueness and the opportunity that they thought the Centennial campus presented for NC State to have an edge. And that was really important.
Yeah, and you mentioned that a lot of other universities are sort of catching on to this trend. Mm-hmm. Is there something you have to do to maintain that edge? Or?
Yeah, do all the things I just mentioned a moment ago. We have got to stay out there. We've got to make the campus, we've got to keep the campus on the little front edge of that. We have to be able to keep the amenities coming. We have to be able to do the things that make it unique. That is the Hunt Library and Emerging Issues Complex that we're planning. That has a great opportunity to make a very unique statement on the campus and make it another magnet for things that might come there. Things like the Biotechnology Training Center, that's a very unique magnet to get things. We've got to look for those things that make that campus unique, attract partners that are unique. Red Hat is a good example. Midwest Vaco and the Innovative Packaging Center that's now coming to the campus. Those things that become, you know, it's kind of a magnet upon a magnet, and they, you know, once you kind of keep linking them together, your magnetic field gets stronger and stronger. And I think that's kind of where we're moving back into a place where we really are bringing some interesting things and big names to the campus that make a difference. And that's what it's going to take. We cannot rest on our laurels. We cannot think that because we were good once, we'll always be good, or we'll always be unique, or we'll always be special. We have got to keep reinventing ourselves to do that. That's true of the whole university.